When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hi there, Jordan with you, and this is On Mic with Jordan Rich, and I can't wait to introduce you to another spectacular guest today. Before we do, just a couple of quick contact notes. You can reach me via email, Jordan, J-O-R-D-A-N, at chartproductions.com, where the program is produced. You can also find me on Twitter, at Jordan WBZ, which is my home radio station, and of course, Jordan Rich Show on Facebook. Today, I'm sitting down with a lovely gal who is a colleague and a friend, and we've known each other for, over 30 years, and have worked together throughout that span. Her name is Carolyn Armistead, affectionately known as Cal Armistead. And among all the other talents, and she's got many, she's a singer, she's an actress, she's a voiceover artist, we work with her extensively. She's also a very talented writer, and she has her first novel, and it's a young adult book that has gotten raves across the country. Teachers love it, students love it, parents love it. It's called Being Henry David. It's a debut novel, a story about a teen in search of himself. It involves history, literature, a little bit of magic. It's quite an intriguing tale. And just recently, it was launched as an audiobook, and we'll talk about that. So, Cal Armistead, let's go on, Mike. A published author, Cal Armistead, and a dear friend and a longtime associate. So nice to be able to chat with you about creative stuff.
Oh, it's nice to chat with you about anything, Jordan.
Well, thank you. We've gone back and forth over the years as colleagues in the voiceover game, and you still work with Chart Productions, my studio, and you
love
do a great
Chart
job.
Productions.
All this time, who knew that you were writing the great American novel?
Not me. I wrote a novel that has luckily done well and been used in schools. And so I've been very happy with what's happened.
Yeah. Well, we're here to talk about that and future writings, but very excited about the fact that Being Henry David has won all kinds of awards. It's been read now in schools throughout the country. And we can announce as well that it's now an audio book. Why was that important in this?
It was important to me for several reasons. I kept hearing from teachers who said, I have students who aren't particularly good readers, but we would like them to listen to it because my book, Being Henry David, was chosen as all school reads and all grade reads. And so all the kids were required to read it. And for the kids who find it a little harder to read, the teachers thought that would be a really helpful thing. And so I kept hearing over the years, and I kept asking my publishers, hey, what about this? And they said, well, that's not really our plan.
Right.
And so what happened recently is it's been long enough now that contractually I can just go ahead and do it on my own. And that's when I came to you guys. Can I put in a plug for you
Feel free. And we found a great narrator. It was a delight doing it. And I'll tell you that young adult fiction is something that I think a lot of people try and don't really master. You've really nailed that. The story itself is great, but also the way you wrote it.
Oh, well, thanks. Yeah, it's I think part of that is because I have had some young adults in my home and have been one. Although the strange thing about this is that it's first person in a male point of view. So it's from a boy who's 17 turning 18 over the course of the book. But
you've got two girls.
And I have two girls too. So people are
like,
what?
Research. We'll talk about that. let's focus on the story. And most people, if they're from New England, might have a sense Henry David is referring to Henry David Thoreau.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
And even people outside of New England. But you came up with this great story about a literary character and a real historical character. But what happens in the book, basically?
What happens in the book is this boy wakes up in Penn Station. The first line of the book is, the last thing I remember is now. So we are literally in his head in the present tense, and we don't know where we are. We don't know why this boy is there and where he came from and what the circumstances are. All he knows is he's got this bump on his head, and it's a little bleeding a little bit. Mm-hmm. He has no belongings at all. He had a backpack. Well, actually, he doesn't know that yet. But somebody stole his backpack. He realizes that later. But the only belonging that he has is a copy of Henry David Thoreau's Walden. It's the only clue he has to who he is. And so he figures, I've got to follow this. It's the only thing I have. And so he does end up going to Concord, Massachusetts, and he meets a host of characters there, and he reads all of Walden, and he goes to Walden, and he has dreams, or is it a ghost, with Thoreau
there. Touch of Twilight Zone and Catcher in the Rye, if you ask me, because it really is a story of coming of age, ultimately.
Yeah, it's and also a story of identity.
Mm-hmm.
This is a boy who has amnesia.
Mm.
Something happened to take away his memory. Something traumatic happened.
Right.
And so the way that his body and brain are dealing with it is to just cut off his memories about that particular situation.
What makes it attractive, though, to school groups and teachers, I guess, is messaging and so forth. Bringing in Henry David Thoreau, bringing in Walden, bringing in some of these other characters from the golden age of literature arouses interest, mm-hmm. doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. And that was, I think that's one of the reasons why it has done as well as it has, is because teachers look for something contemporary that their kids can read. And there's not a lot from a teenager's point of view about Henry David Thoreau.
Mm-hmm.
So my character comes along and reads all of Walden and remembers lines that come up during the course of the book, because he becomes obsessed with this book, mm-hmm. and he's got a really good memory, almost a photographic memory. And so he'll spout off all these lines from Thoreau. And so I weave those into the story as well.
Now, you live in the area. How much of a personal connection have you had over the years with that?
I have lived in Concord. I lived for maybe about a year at my uncle's house while I was a young person trying to find my own way, which is, you know, the whole looking for your identity thing, which is maybe subconsciously why I wrote this character, finding his way around Walden Pond, because that's where I found my way to adulthood,
mm-hmm.
was doing research into the – I'd come to Boston and was looking for a job and all that, finding my adult self in Concord, Massachusetts, and walked around Walden a lot and went to the library to do research into the jobs I wanted in radio or TV or newspaper. And I would sit in that library and look at these weird statues of Bronson Alcott and Henry David Thoreau. And that all found its way into the book, too.
Yeah, those statues come alive and they really do exist.
Yeah, they're really there. And they are creepy. I mean, the busts, you know, look like somebody's hacked off, you know, just their upper body. But and he has this horrible fever dream because he was stabbed in New York City, kind of a little spoiler alert there, but he was hurt, and so it gets infected, and he spends a night. He's hiding out all over Concord. He spends a couple of nights in the high school, hiding out there because he needs shelter. He needs somewhere to stay, and then a night in the library where he has these horrible dreams and these statues come to life and scare the hell out of him.
There's an element of supernatural to it, but it really is a story about discovering yourself, trying to find out who you are. In this case, amnesia, but it's a great metaphor for teenage angst.
And
also what goes on in our lives that causes us to be traumatized.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, we're talking about mysteries. What is the ultimate mystery? But who am I?
Mm.
You know, that's kind of like the ultimate mystery. And we find out through this boy. That's his big question, because he really honestly doesn't know who he is and why he's in this situation.
I'm going to put quotation fingers up. He's 17 years old and his name is Hank.
Hank in quotes, yeah.
In quotes. Henry David Thoreau, Hank.
Yeah. How that happens is that he meets some street kids at Penn Station who befriend him and kind of take care of him and get him in trouble at the same time. But they ask him his name. They go, what's your name, dude? And he looks down at this copy of Thoreau's Walden because he doesn't know his name. And so he goes, Henry David. My name is Henry David.
Right.
And the guy says, you look like a Hank. You're Hank.
It's really cool. The response, as I said at the beginning, is very positive. You've had teachers calling you and connecting with you. You've done talks and so forth.
Yeah,
why do you think this is working so well and resonating with the young readers?
I think because there's a mystery involved, you know, from the first page, you're with this kid and you're in this public place and you're looking around and there's street people and there's, you know, the cops, the transit cops, and there's travelers and there's the big destination board and all that. And it's this onslaught of sensations for this boy. And so you're immediately like, all right, where the heck is this kid? And I think that draws kids in from the beginning. And then they find out this book is there and they're curious about it. And I think that's what teachers like. So what is it about this book?
We should add, Cal, that it's young adult fiction. That's the way it's sort of titled and labeled. But adults can enjoy it and read it and perhaps enjoy it on a different level. Characters, parents, teachers, and of course, Henry David himself.
Yeah. And Thomas. Thomas is the Thoreau interpreter who takes him under his wing at Walden Pond. He meets him at Walden Pond. But what was the question?
No, it was more of an observation. I mean, adults will find a lot to like about this.
Oh, yeah. And a lot of adults have read it. I've been invited to several book clubs and have talked to grown-ups about it. And a lot of people have commented on the Amazon page and given it 5 stars, which is always good.
Well deserved. Now, do you base characters when you're writing a book like this on people in Concord, people you know, people you hang out with?
Well, a little bit. Interestingly enough, I came up with this character of Thomas, the Thoreau interpreter. And I made him up in my head because I thought, how interesting to have like this historian guy who has tattoos and rides a motorcycle. And I thought, well, that would be, you know, kind of a different take on it that kids might find interesting. And then I went to Walden Pond and I just happened to ask the guy at the gift shop, you know, is there a Thoreau interpreter around that I can interview? And he looked at me and he said, do you mean like me? And he had tattoos down his arms. And he said, well, Thoreau was a rebel in his day. And I'm a rebel. I liked, you know, I liked punk rock when I was younger.
Well,
so
that says something about you and your perceptions and your ability to create characters. It turns out life imitating art.
It's like, I made you up.
What? You're real? What are you doing here? The character of Henry David Thoreau, the man himself, a great deal of this, you know, you base a lot of the books sort of messaging on what he had to say.
Yeah.
Tell me more about him, because you obviously know a lot about
him. Yeah, I learned a lot about Thoreau, and I learned about a lot of misconceptions people have about him. They thought he was a hermit, and he was only like a mile outside of town. He used to come to town all the time. People would go and visit him. But he wanted to live as close to nature as he could and survive on his own and really pay attention to the change of the seasons. And that's why his book is so beautiful, because it's so rich with his observations. So I really learned a lot about him and the fact that he was quite a curmudgeon and that he really was – you know, we weren't really sure about his sexuality, to be honest. Was he – he apparently sort of fell in love with this woman that his brother also fell in love with, but nothing ever came of it. So he never really was linked romantically to anyone.
I've often wondered if he was close with the others of his day, like Emerson and Longfellow and people of that ilk. There have been some books written by local authors that involve that bunch as characters working together. Do you know anything about his associations?
Not a ton, but I know that he and Emerson were close and that Nathaniel Hawthorne was in their group.
Hawthorne, right.
And I know that Louisa May Alcott was younger than him by quite a bit, I think 16 years younger.
That's not a bad group of writers just hanging out at the local pub some night. I mean, that's
those at the Colonial Inn, no doubt.
Those are some heavy hitters, no question about it. You teased to me the fact that there may be more to this story coming out.
Yeah. Well, ever since this book came out, I have been hearing from kids and adults and teachers and librarians about, wait a minute, there's more. What happens after the end? And I thought that I'd kind of pretty much told the story. And it was only recently that I went, wait a minute, there is another story here. And so I am starting to work on that. This is hot off the presses, everybody. I mean, it's not even completed yet. It's really, I'm very excited about it, though.
That doesn't preclude the suggestion that you have a lot of other projects in the works. You have told me, what, 3 to 5 books?
Well, I have 3 novels that are completed, 2 young adult novels and 1 middle grade novel that are in various stages of editing and being looked at by editors and my agent. And then I have three other projects that I'm working on concurrently right now. One is crazy. It's a collaborative novel with three other women. We all met in grad school, and we're writing a book about three women who met in grad school, and there's a murder, and we're almost done with that and about to have readers look.
We live here at the studio. We live probably 40 miles from where you live, something like that. And I remember hearing a whoop when you got the publisher to say yes. I think maybe I'm just imagining that, but I thought I heard you go, yay. It's very tough to get even someone to look at it, let alone publish it.
It is tough. And I do have these three novels that, you know, I thought, well, hey, I did it once. Then these are just absolutely going to be immediately published. But it's not easy. I have very high hopes for the sequel. Since Being Henry David was so well received and sold so many copies, I was really excited by that. And so now I'm working on the sequel.
Doesn't it do your heart good to know that you've done something that will cause young people to pick up a book, whether it's an actual book or in a Kindle, whatever. They're reading. That's the great part. I remember when the Harry Potter craze happened, and it was so cool to see people lined up at midnight to buy books for their kids.
Yeah.
In a way, you've done some of that yourself with your own creation.
Well, it's been exciting to hear from teachers that say that some of their reluctant male readers in their class, I think it's harder to get boys to read than girls. And so having a male protagonist really helped this book along, I think. And so I have heard from kids who say, oh, this is the favorite book I've ever read. And I'm so glad I had to read it. And parents who said, my son had to read this for school and I wanted to read it too and loved it. So it's been very rewarding.
Well, we talked about this earlier, but you write in a boy's voice as the central character in first person. And that's a daunting task, I think, to write as a young person, but then someone of a different gender. How did you get into this kid's head?
Well, you know, really, when it comes right down to it, it's not really that different from being a teenage boy and being a teenage girl. I mean, obviously, there are differences. But in terms of getting down to identity and who I am inside, there's a lot of similarities.
And universal concept.
Yeah. And I have two daughters, but they've had friends through the house. And you know, I'm an observant person. And I have also read a lot of young adult fiction. And so, yeah, I just kind of put myself, you know, it's like we do acting sometimes. And so I'm just putting myself into that character.
I'm glad you mentioned that because you have been an actress for many, many years on stages. You also are a musician. Tell us a little bit about that.
Oh, well, I am musician is I think that's using the term broadly. I'm a singer. I have tried to play guitar and flute and piano, and I'm not very good at instruments as much as I would love to be good at instruments for some reason. But singing is my instrument. And so I was in a band for 6.5 years, and we made it to finalists at the Boston Blues Challenge in 2012, which was pretty exciting. Or was it 2011? Anyway, around there. And that was fabulous. I loved being in the band and making music and singing and getting to be the band chick. That was about playing my little tambourine and some of the other things. And I am currently in an a cappella group also with 12 people, and we perform all the time and have a blast together.
Well, definitely living the kind of life that an artist and somebody who's creative wants to live, with the writing, with the voice work, with the singing and all the other things, including podcasts you're developing. So congratulations.
Thank you.
We should mention your website again, which is your name, Cal, C-A-L, Armistead, ArmisteaD.com. The book, Being Henry David, of course, is available everywhere. And now an audio version is available everywhere.
Yes.
That's cool.
Fresh out of Chart Productions.
Well, happy to say we had a great time doing it, and we couldn't have had a better client, quote unquote, to work with than you.
You guys were amazing. You're
Being great. Henry David is a terrific read, and it's making an impact. Thank you so much for joining me, Cal.
Thank you, Jordan, for asking.
On Mike with Jordan Rich, produced at Chart Productions in Boston with technical assistance from Ken Carberry and Dan Tebow of Fast Twitch Media. You can connect with me on Facebook at Jordan Rich Show, on Twitter at JordanWBZ, or email me, Jordan@chartproductions.com. And as always, thanks for listening, and a reminder to be well so you can do good. Take care.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.